are the Incredible Critics. Incredible not because we're great, but because our credibility should seriously be in question. Welcome to another Mandalorian Special Edition. This is Frankie Fusco, and today we're going to talk about The Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 3, or Chapter 11? 10?
Yeah.
11? Okay. Sure. I get confused.
That sounds right. Eight episodes per season.
There we go. It's carry the two. That's 11.
Sounds right.
Welcome. And joining me today. Real quick, before I introduce everybody else, everyone should know this is a spoiler podcast of everything up to this episode and everything that happened in this episode and anything that happens in the, that we can in the next episodes. Yada, yada, yada. Joining me today, Tim Lasers Gruber.
Pew pew.
And then we also have Andrew back again. Tuna more. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, guys?
Good, buddy. Good. So this episode, garbage, right? Probably worse.
Ooh, it was great.
It was the best episode in forever.
It was amazing.
It has everything that you want in an episode. So if you're a fan of the Western cowboy bebop almost style part of Mandalorian, where it's like he's on a new world and he's doing a new adventure and it gets solved at the end of the episode, that is what you get in this episode. But then you also, if you enjoy the I want a bunch of Star Wars
surprises
and stuff that relates it, that I can say, I know that what they're talking about, there's that in this episode. If you want cute baby Yoda, there's cute baby Yoda in the episode. Like, there is everything that you could want in this episode. And no genocide. So,
there wasn't genocide in the last episode. But okay, so this episode was called The Heiress. Right? Is that how you say it?
Yeah,
I think that's how you Heiress. Mm-hmm. Heiress. Mm-hmm. This is the short description. Was the Mandalorian braves the high seas and meets unexpected allies?
What? So, just a real quick, I want to say something because I haven't seen the Clone Wars show like you two have. Going into this,
what are you doing with your life? We've been in quarantine for 9 months.
Have you listened to any of the other 10
been in quarantine? Star Wars still working.
So am I. Still,
I mean, you probably have too, but yeah, no. I went in with a different perspective on it, and I still have to agree with you guys. This was a phenomenal episode. Hits all the right story beats, just like Frankie said. But before we get into like the big reveal, what else did you guys like about this episode?
Okay. I did love that those reveal people were like, he was like, why are you taking off your helmets? And then immediately jumped to, where did you get that armor? Because he was like, he was like raised in a cult. And he doesn't know it.
This is how all cult members feel.
And they're like, oh, he's one of those.
We finally get the explanation that we've kind of been looking for. Anyone who's been any kind of Clone Wars episode or Rebels, or even if you watch the original series, you're kind of like, wait a second. I've seen Mandalorians take off their helmet. Why? What is this? I've never heard of this before. And then you're like, if you watched Rebels and Clone Wars, you're like, wait, they all took off their helmets. What's going on? So no explanation on exactly what it is. We could use more information because we've never heard of this besides in the Mandalorian TV show. We've never heard of this sect of the people. But in a previous entity of Star Wars, though, so there's a lot more explanation, a lot more that can go into it, but it is cool to realize that, all right, we're not crazy. They're not like messing things up or changing things. This is just,
it's just this like he's a deeply religious splinter group that he didn't know was a thing.
Well, because like any good, religion / cult, you get them when they're young and then you raise them up in it, and then they don't venture far.
Yeah, so. that was cranking me up. So that was like one of the, I mean, other than there was a lot of action highlights in this one.
Yeah.
There was a few, there was a moment of when the Corrin Fisher dudes knocked, when he like, what did he kick the Yoda pod, the baby Yoda pod over the, into the he water?
Knocked it. Yeah, he knocked it with his spear thing.
Bro. I was like, oh no, you didn't.
I can't believe that he fell for that.
Yeah, yeah, that's
true. Kind of expected it. He's like, hey, show the kid. I'm like, no, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
So like Mando is good at getting out of a tight spot, but he's really bad at like, the last two episodes, he's got taken by surprise by people who shouldn't by any means be able to mess with him at all.
Getting soft because of the child.
You think
this makes perfect sense?
No, well, I'll say though, Jawas like bested him for a hot minute in the
that's true.
In episode two or whatever it was.
In their defense, he just left the ship sitting there.
Yeah, but they also just like kicked his butt to the ground off the
he didn't have the
off the crawler.
Best car yet.
That's true, that's true. But I don't know. But taken by surprise, not that great. But when he's in a tight spot, he's just like, I'm a man up and do this, which he did at the end of the episode. So,
all right. So let's take it. Kind of we'll talk about the first big reveal. We have Katie Sackhoff, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, Katie Sackhoff has made her way
to live action Star Wars.
Mandalorian. She was the voice of Bo-Katan in both Rebels and Clone Wars, the cartoon. She's also a huge, I mean, in all things sci-fi ever, she has some kind of role. Amazing. And this was something that caught me by surprise because I try not to read too many spoilers. I mean, besides, you know, Ahsoka and other ones that we've talked about, but I didn't realize that there were rumors about her being in the show. So when she pulled off the helmet and we saw Bo-Katan, who looks just like the cartoon,
That was
Rebels version crazy of her. Like, it was awesome. It was so cool. Really excited about it. And we finally find out who Sasha Banks' character is Costa Reeves. So another one of the Mandalorians, which is pretty awesome.
And they're all like beast mode Mandalorians. Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
they're like a team of three of them did what like 10 of the cult Mandalorians did in season one. You know what I'm saying?
They're legit Mandos.
Like, well, these people have been through the Clone War, you know.
That's true. They were, at least Bo-Katan was through it. And then the other ones, if they weren't in it with her, they were trained by her. So they're like, I mean, she was just like, oh, there's a baby inside a monster in the water. I've got this. And she just dives in and wrecks the thing, you know? Like, that was wild.
It was awesome. And then Mando, of course, being a cult member, you know, a little, I don't want your help. You guys aren't with me. I don't know who you are. I don't trust you. So, he sends them on their way, but they don't give up because then he gets himself in another jam, walks into the pier, and all of a sudden all the little fish guy's friends walk up and my dog,
oh yeah, he's like, you killed my brother.
There's like 20 of them.
He was like, he did that joke from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, you dirty rat, you killed my brother. That's all I can think of.
And then they come and save him again, and now he's swooped into a mission to help them get some weapons for their cause, which is the good old, you know, Western episode where he has to come and save the day and help.
It's a train heist, but instead of a train, it's a Imperial ship.
Right.
An Imperial warship that for some reason has to follow the planet guidelines of going really slow until they get out of
because they're planet. Probably trying to stay under the radar.
Yeah, remember the Empire, it doesn't really exist.
Well, it doesn't really
like
exist.
It used to.
I'm gonna throw it out there. Maybe they shouldn't be in full uniform.
That's
they're hanging on to the last vestiges.
They're still dressed. Uniforms are fully pressed. They're like, no, I'm still going to work today. I don't care. I don't care about the Death Star.
That's true.
I'm gonna press my. I don't know who's paying me.
Death Star 2 was an inside job.
Who's paying them? Who's giving them money? That's where, like, where's this guy's paycheck coming from? Who's
there's no paycheck. They're drafted and stuff. I mean, you know how this works, right?
They're all
they sign up. You sign up to join.
Yeah, not for a paycheck.
You definitely sign up for a paycheck.
They're like, I'll get my pilot's license for free. I mean, that was why Wedge and Tilly signed up, right?
Solo signed up.
So, Andrew, you didn't know who Bo was before.
Yeah.
So, do you know who she is now?
Yeah. How much do you understand about her character, or did you look her up after?
I looked her up afterwards a little bit.
Okay. So, for anybody who doesn't know, who watches Mando, Bo's character is the sister of the old Queen of Mandalore.
Yeah.
So she, this lady,
the one who Obi-Wan has not had the hots for.
And so Obi-Wan and her kind of had a little thing. Back in the day. And she was the Queen of Mandalore. She gets killed by, is it Darth Maul? Or is it?
I don't remember who killed her.
Someone kills her. Personally. She dies. And overall, which this lady's looking for is the black saber, which we know that.
The dark saber, right, actually.
That Moff Gideon has.
It's actually called the dark saber. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I don't see color. The dark saber is going to, it's like a lightsaber, but that, you know, Mandalorian, that this one that's been passed down from Mandalorian generation to generation.
Yeah. It was like the original
Jedi Mandalorian.
Yes. The original Mandalorian Jedi, who there's never technically never been one since then, is what they say, united his people. And part of the deal was he was the only one with this darksaber thing. And it was so awesome. So it's like it's a historical artifact that doesn't really have extra power in it, but it's really cool looking. So they all dig it. All of them.
Yeah, pretty much. That sums it up.
It's a symbol of power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so she's looking for it because technically if there was anyone that was going to rule Mandalore and bring it back to the way it was, it would be her. Since she has the royal bloodline in her.
Yeah. Which, okay, but they don't really explain that. Like, it's just called the heiress, but it doesn't, the episode doesn't explain that she is that for Mandalorians.
If you never knew, if you never watched Clone Wars or Rebels, you would have no
clue. Yeah. But, and yeah, that's why I asked Andrew, like, if he looked her up, because it's just explained like she wants the thing back from him, and she wants to make Mandalore great.
So two things. Well, what I'm thinking, hear me out. So one of the things I love this, like I love bringing in, especially Clone Wars and Rebels, because I love both of the shows into the show. But one of the things that this show thrived on was the fact that it was so separate from any other story in Star Wars. Now, I guess maybe they were thinking more of which separate from the Han Solo,
from Luke the Skywalker,
you know.
Skywalker saga?
Yeah, I guess Skywalker. Well, because it's still technically a Skywalker saga because you're going to have Ahsoka, who was part of the Skywalker saga. So I was thinking more of like,
I mean, you know, the Skywalker saga is technically only the movies, Frankie.
Okay.
The trilogies.
I get what you're communicating, though. I understand.
I think we all get it, though.
Now they're bringing this into, and not only are they bringing it in, which I'm totally cool with, but for people who have not watched Clone Wars and Rebels, there's no explanation about Eris.
Right.
I think
So here's what I would guess. I would guess she's definitely going to be back in this season.
Oh,
of
yeah.
The show.
Katie Sackhoff does not just do one episode.
Yeah. And the fact that she was like, we'll remember you, buddy, when we take everything back, when we make Mandalore amazing, we'll remember you.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not this season, it's going to be another season. I don't know why they would have a series called The Mandalorian without digging into that specifically a lot more.
Yeah, we do know we'll get one of the things that he's looking for is to find a Jedi or to help bring baby Yoda or the child to, and he gets a name
and a location, maybe.
And a location,
maybe,
possibly. Maybe. We'll see if it goes there. And the name,
I do know the name,
is Ahsoka Tano, the greatest Star Wars character ever created.
Oh boy.
Ever written.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not, I don't know about that. That's debatable.
We are. That is definitely, definitely debatable. 100%. And I don't have great arguments for it, but
she might be the Star Wars character that we have the most actual character development for of any Star Wars character in canon.
It's fair.
Right?
That's a better argument. That's one I mean, fight more. Yeah. No, it's true.
Because we see her go from like Padawan completely not knowing better. Mm-hmm. Just doing whatever, doing her thing
to question it.
Yeah, basically Jedi Knight, basically not a Jedi, basically a gray Jedi. She does a lot because she's been in all the animated stuff now. She mm-hmm. has her own book, which is canon, and now she's going to be...
By sheer amount of content, she has the most character development.
Right, by sheer hours of content.
She might have the most content. That a lot of people don't know about.
The
average person
right.
wouldn't know about.
That's true. That's true. So yeah, I'm pumped to find out where this goes. You know what I mean?
I just hope for my sake that she's in more than like the last episode.
I was talking to Pete and Joe about that the other day, and Pete's convinced it's going to go one of two ways. Either we'll see her, like the last few seconds of the season.
Last episode. No.
or we'll see her next episode and she'll be in the rest of the show.
Yeah.
See, they don't bring too many characters back for multiple episodes. I mean, at least going off of last season. Like I think even what's that other MMA fighter's name?
Yeah, Cara Dune.
Cara Dune, yeah. So she's only in like three episodes.
She's in episode four, and then she's in the last two.
Yeah,
sure. So. But she's also not necessarily an integral part of the plot in the same way that Ahsoka is. Like she's directly related to the whole thing with the child. The child is the crux of the show.
True. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I think we might see her next episode, which would be amazing. And then like maybe even the tail end of next episode, which would be four. And then she's in five and then we don't see her again until eight is what I'm going to say. So two.
Yeah. I think that would be
thinking the last two episodes is what she'll mm-hmm. be in like the finale of the show, like last season.
We'll see. Cause I do think, and I hope at least, and I think if I believe it hard enough, it will happen. But the whole reason for her being in the in the show and begin with is to get another series started about Ahsoka Tano. So
yeah, and I think that's been kind of rumored for a while. Yeah. Which honestly they've rumored tons of things about, like there might be another animated show that they've already started production on, or
they have the Bad Batch
a season of. Oh yeah, they're the Bad Batch. Is a thing for sure with the clones and there's rumors that there's something else, and if they're doing, I think if they do a spinoff from like the live action part of this, Ahsoka would be the most spinoffable person or thing like in this show right now. That would be potentially a different flavor of Star Wars than the really Western stuff that we're getting from The Mandalorian. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it would be able to, she, you know, following her on adventures, she would be able to have totally different types of adventures in totally different parts of the universe. And they could feel distinctly different shows. You know what I mean? Like there was a lot of people who were like, let's give Cobb Vance a show. Because he's in the desert and he's been wearing Boba Fett's armor. I'm like, yeah, that's great. Like his character was really cool. I'd love to hear more about his character, but we have a Western.
Yeah.
We have a space Western. It's this show.
Yeah, like, why would another one?
Yeah. Why would you do another one about just a different character?
not to depart too much from what we're talking about, just as a quick note though, like personally, I would rather see more new Star Wars content come out that's just totally unrelated to anything in the current timeline. But I agree with you, Tim, if they were going to do anything else that's stuck with what we already have timeline-wise between the prequels and the sequels, Ahsoka is probably the best way to go about that.
Yeah. So my argument against stuff not in the timeline, which a lot of people like, and I understand it, and I'm even for it in a sense, but I do like to argue against it because I think you need something to catch everyone else's interest, and there has to be some kind of strand or string to bring it together to the Star Wars that people know and already love and are watching.
I disagree. I mean,
Mandalorian is the perfect sense because it's, yeah, there's not a character that anyone knows in here, but people know what a Mandalorian is, and they know, you know, they think of Boba Fett and Jango Fett, and Boba Fett, it fed off of the obsession that people have with Boba Fett.
And they know what a Yoda is.
And yeah, and I don't believe the show would have been as successful without Baby Yoda. If it was just this guy going on missions and things like that, I don't think it would have made it to season two. Baby Yoda is one of the things that, you know, keeps it afloat, which is that string to the original
trilogy.
It's
fair, I suppose. But
I mean, me and you and the average nerd would love a, you know, Knights of the Old Republic time series.
Yeah, I think there's still plenty of a draw for that, and just the Star Wars universe as a whole, I think, is still appealing that anybody who even remotely likes Star Wars, if it's well written, can get into it. I mean, Game of Thrones became wildly popular despite, you know, not near, I mean, I don't know anybody, no, that's not true. I know one person who's read the books, who watched the show. Like, you can create a great world and a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah, right,
but medieval times is not new. You know, like,
no,
it, yeah,
but it's
an original
completely new narrative. So you can have a completely,
right,
new
completely,
narrative set in the world of Star Wars.
But it's also a completely new story. So there's no, maybe I'm wording it wrong, but like,
I get what you're saying. But the
Star
game,
Wars, like, even The Mandalorian has Star Wars as a background, right? Game of Thrones, there's nothing besides Game of Thrones as their background. So it was attractive to people because it was one, you had, well, I mean, it was attractive to people because there was blood, killing, and sex and nudity. I mean, and it was an HBO series, so that's why people loved it.
That's fair.
I mean, it was
specifically the blood.
But on the flip side, the Knights of the Old Republic games, if we're just going to compare those, when the first one came out, it was the console's fastest ever selling game on its launch.
Mm-hmm.
It sold out within 4 days of it being on shelves. And that's I know we have a bit of an oversaturation of Star Wars these days, but it's something that fans especially have been wanting, and they don't think they need to draw a new audience to it.
I agree with you in the sense that Knights of the Republic is probably the best Star Wars game, but good video games don't make great television.
No, and I'm not saying they should make an adaptation of it. My thought is just that it was something new set in the Star Wars universe that had no ties to anything whatsoever that was already established, and it did really well. I know it's a video game, that's a very different industry, but you see some similar trends. I personally think it would work, but you might be right. Maybe it wouldn't work out well enough for Disney to want to do something like that.
We'll let the people talk about it on Facebook. I think that sounds like a good topic for discussion.
Yeah.
Before we go anywhere, last thoughts on the episode and what you think will happen next episode. Tim?
I think he's going to go wherever Ahsoka's supposed to go, or where she's supposed to be, and she's not going to be there. I don't think we'll see her. I think I'm on the train of she'll be in the last few episodes,
mm-hmm.
and we'll probably have kind of a nebulous, like, okay, well, is the child gonna go with her or stay with the Mando or what? Kind of a situation at the end of the season. Overall, though, this episode was awesome. Like, all the kind of fillery stuff that we got so far was worth it, I think, for to get Mando and the child to this point. So I loved it.
Yeah, I'd agree with Tim. I think that it's going to end up on another fetch quest or escort mission next episode, and probably for the next couple. We'll see Ahsoka Tano towards the end, maybe another run-in with the other Mandos at some point. I wonder if they'll encounter Gideon this season. Something to think about. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. But what about you, Frankie? Your final thoughts?
I agree with you guys. I think this is hands down the best episode. It's definitely rewatchable. And as far as next, I'm going to try to be a little different than you guys. I'm going to say Ahsoka's coming. Ahsoka's coming next episode, end of the episode, and it's going to be legit. It's going to be fire. Do you think this episode was good? Wait till you see next episode. All right. Until next time, Andrew, where can people catch us?
Facebook.com/IncredibleCritics. Twitter.com@
What was that?
3CriticsPod. Sorry, I got a frog egg stuck in my throat.
There was another bowl? Genocide. It was another quibble quib?
Genocide.
And make sure you leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know what you think.
Until next time, we are the Incredible Critics.
The dog made an appearance.
There he is. He's been making noise the whole podcast, just sitting here crying because I won't throw his ball. All right, guys, I got to go. But I also, for the record, I just felt like I had to say something separate than you guys, but I totally agree. I think next episode is not going to be.
Leave this in, Ben. Mark, get it.
I feel like I had to choose. I couldn't say the same thing. I had to do something different. I hope so. That's my hope.